Outlet Liquor is your place to buy a case. Stock up and save when you shop the lowest prices available every day at Outlet Liquor. You never have to wait for a sale. The more you buy, the more you save. Only at Outlet Liquor.
What's your outlet?
Folks, welcome back. We are almost out of that lull. We are almost into March Madness. We're almost into the Buffalo bracket. We are just about 9 days away from Buffalo Bills free agency and all the excitement that brings. We got the Sabres stumbling. We got Slick and Micah ready to be rumbling. And we have got the man, the myth, the legend, Pat Moran on the other side to talk all things Western New York headed into March. With that said, let's go.
You don't stop. Grow. Diet soda flows and what you take magically regenerates. On supermarket shelves, the ovens clean themselves. You don't pay the tab till the last drop. So we all ride for nothing, cause this train never stops.
Welcome back to Trainwreck Tonight 331, sponsored by Outlet Liquor, your place to buy a case for all of March Madness and beyond in 2024. George Urban Boulevard, Cheektowaga, the place to do it. Let's get our panel in here. You know him, you love him. He owns a day of the calendar. Slick in the house. We got your friend. We got our friend. We got my friend, Jake, Micah, and ladies and gentlemen, this is the legend. This is the icon. This is Pat Moran.
Oh.
Welcome to the show, sir.
What's going on, guys? How you doing, man? Good to be here.
Of course. It's a great time. We're through that February lull. We are into March. We got great weather today. That's why probably everyone's out enjoying it before the sun goes down. But with that said, we got a lot to get to here on Trainwreck Tonight 331. Thanks for hopping aboard, Pat. So let's get into it. Bills, 9 days away. We've got free agency. The first domino, quote unquote, fell today in the form of Mike Evans signing with the Bucks. 2 years, $52 million. I don't think the Bills were ever in that neighborhood, ever in that region, so to speak. So I guess they weren't really into it. But with that said, let's get into it. Pat, going into this free agency, what do you see as like the biggest need for the Bills? And what would you like to see Brandon Bean potentially do in this period?
Well, I mean, listen, they got 20 starters coming back. 19 starters for sure, probably 20. I think you got to keep it realistic. Look, I've been tweeting about Mike Evans for the last week. Pipe Dreams admitted it, had some fun with it, and, you know, got a lot of it's not going to happen responses, which I always knew it was not going to happen. But, you know, a guy like Mike Evans would have been great for the Bills. But like you said, financially, it was just never feasible. So I haven't really spent any time even looking at guys like that, not realistically anyway. I know we're talking about like a dream March scenario, but I'm thinking keep things kind of realistic here. And I got two guys that are free agents and one that I really want to see the Bills re-sign. And I think all three of those moves are what I would classify as realistic here.
Okay. Okay.
You want to know them?
Yeah, lay him on us. What are you, just teasing? Yeah,
I was just saying, leave with the tease there. You got to let it go.
I'm not saying here anything that I think a lot of people wouldn't agree with when it comes to the free agent that I'd like to see them resign, but it's Jaquan Jones. I think he's realistic to be able to get him back, maybe on a 2-year deal. I think DaQuan Jones was playing at an all-pro level through the first month of last season. Then he got hurt. He came back during the end of the year. He was all right, but he wasn't quite the same player that he was early in the season. And I think he makes Ed Oliver a better football player as well. And I just feel like addressing that internally within, you kind of have at least the starters for the defensive line is all set. So you can go into free agency in the draft knowing that you're going to be looking for depth and a couple rookies, I'm sure, in that unit. But if you can lock down DaQuan Jones, I think you solidify that unit. And then there's two guys in free agency that I like a lot, kind of lower tier players, like not necessarily big names, but Noah Brown from Houston, a receiver. I thought did some really good things when he had an opportunity last year. And I look at his skill set, his size, his ability to get down the field. And I look at him as a, at worst, like an Emmanuel Sanders type of player. You know, a guy who can come in and maybe he's your four to start, but he could be that too, like in an upgraded version of what you hoped Trent Sherfield would be able to be for the Bills last year. I like him a lot, and signing him does not in any way preclude you from going into the draft and still trying to get a guy in the first round. And then the other guy I like from the Baltimore Ravens, Geno Stone, is safety. First year, full year as a starter this past year. I think he had like 7 interceptions. I think it's the end of the road for Micah, whether it's retiring, whether it's the team just not bringing him back. But I'd like to see a guy like Geno Stone come into Buffalo. I think him and Poyer, I do think he'll be back for another year. You get those guys, and I just, like I said, I think you've solidified all your starters, and then you could add talent, depth through free agency, and, you know, you go to the draft trying to get one or two, you know, guys who could contribute right away.
Agreed. You got to tee up your draft with this free agency period. Micah, I know, obviously, I'm paying the bills. You guys are looking at every direction. Are you with Pat on DaQuan, and what else are you looking at in free agency?
Oh, 100% agreement with DaQuan Jones. I would, I'm a big believer in, you were talking about solidifying the roster, both of you, and that's a great, that's been a strategy of what Bean has done, going into the draft, kind of if filling needs, and whether it be with a guy that you think is going to be a quality starter or not, he at least addresses the depth and the position in free agency, even on those smaller deals. But that being said, DaQuan is a priority number one to hold down the trenches. You want to make sure that that D-line and offensive line are right going into the year. We saw how injuries could affect the defensive side of the ball, so you want as many good players going there. I love the idea of addressing safety. I thought you were going to say Odell Beckham when you started saying Raven. I was like, oh, I don't know how I feel about – and that's where I'm at too. I'm not as big on the older receiver or anything like that. I really love the idea. I don't know if the money's going to be able to work, but Curtis Samuel at wide receiver. But Noah Brown, I think, is more of a more feasible financial option, and he had some pop games this year with CJ Stroud. So it's enticing to think about what he'd be able to do with Josh Allen, but there's some interesting wide receiver targets out there. If you're looking specifically at that position, Curtis Samuel is my favorite among that group. I've seen a lot of Kendrick Bourne love. I don't know how I feel about Kendrick Bourne completely, but I do feel like his skill set hasn't been used properly in New England at all when he kind of thought he was going to be able to pop there. So there's some good guys out there on the wide receiver market that I think they can at least address that position before the draft comes around.
A lot, real quick before we get to Slick on his thoughts on free agency. Pat, I think we saw a blurb today, yesterday, or whatever, that the Bills met with virtually every wide receiver at the Combine. I think that was literally the tweet. Do you think that this is a rare case of kind of Brandon Bean tipping the Bills' hand, or is it more just doing the due diligence on potential options? I feel like they're kind of desperate for a wide receiver right now, even though they wouldn't say so out loud.
I would be, and I, look, it's tough to say before what guys did they bring back and what they do in free agency. I mean, if you were to go, like Mike Evans is already off the board, but let's just, for the sake of discussion, you go and you get a Mike Evans, or you find a way to get a big money receiver, right? A Pittman, I don't even think he's going to be available, but just say you get somebody like that, that's obviously going to change what you're looking at going into the draft. But as things stand right now, I think whether it's telegraphed or not, that position is deep enough that you're going to get a great, potentially great receiver in the first round. I would be completely stunned if the Bills did not go wide receiver in the first round, unless they make a huge splash via a trade or a big name free agent signing, which I don't see that happening because of the finances.
Splish splash. And we're having a day. Slick, what are you thinking about free agency?
I also see it that way. You know, as much as I look at some of the wide receivers in this free agency pool and I'm like, wow, wouldn't that be nice? Josh thrown to that guy. I just, especially with this offseason coming up and the salary cap questions in the air with Josh's contract going into this year, I just don't think the money works on the wide receiver portion in free agency. I think they're going to target that heavy in the draft. As Pat said, you could get a really good receiver first round, maybe even another receiver late in the draft if you really wanted to. I think, especially in this free agency pool, there's a plethora of really good safeties as well that Pat touched on that you really should probably address that position with the uncertainty of Hyde, Poyer, Tre'Davious White coming back off injury, obviously, that backfield. So I'd go defensive back in free agency if you are going to make a move. Nothing too crazy. I know money is a questionable topic going into this offseason, but we'll see what they can do. I got faith in Big Baller Bean, and but I really think you got to target the wide receiver in the draft rather than free agency.
You know, I want to add one
before we wrap up. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say real quick too. I think the philosophy of free agency might be a little bit different this year than even say last year. Where last year, because of the cap, the Bills were able to sign a lot of really good depth guys, like one-year contracts. Like almost every free agent last year was a one-year deal. I think you might see more, maybe less guys, of course, but more 2 and 3 year deals because you can get a lower cap number this year, which may allow them to make more moves instead of these straight one-year moves like we saw a lot of last year.
The one-year deal is always exciting. You know, they're either coming to play with Josh Allen or win a Super Bowl, so you can always refer to them that way. Real quick to put a button on the Bills, because this was kind of a weird topic down the stretch of last year. What is your overall confidence level in general manager Big Baller Bean? Slick, why don't you start us off, then go Micah and Pat Miranda, just on a scale of 1 to 10.
9. He's given me not much reason to believe otherwise. I'll just keep it at that. He's still my GM. He's still BBB to me. So, Micah.
Yeah, I'll go a little lower. I'll go like an 8, but I think this is the most, this is like the biggest test of if you can keep this team going. Like it's easy to get, not easy to get there, but it's one thing to get up into this contending status. They've had to start making the shrewd moves. They're obviously paying Josh now with the bigger salary. I'm assuming everybody I've seen has said that the restructure is coming and that'll save some money. But once you start that restructure process, you really have to start hitting on these draft picks and hitting on these smaller tier free agents. So this is probably the most pressure Bean has on him because he doesn't have the ability to go out and make a splash on a guy, really, like Pat's saying. Like, they're not going to be able to do that. So he has to get creative with the contracts. He really has to hit on the draft class. So there's a lot of pressure. It could sway depending on how it goes.
I'll go a 9 on Brandon Bean. I think he's done a good job since being GM. I mean, this is going to be the first year since 2018, though, where money is a legitimate issue. You know, you can't go out and get a big-ticket guy like they did 2 years ago. This past year, they just signed a ton of really good depth guys. Guys like Leonard Floyd, even if Puna Ford didn't work out, guys signing them like that, they, even if, whether they worked out or not, I don't think you're going to have the luxury to get as many people like that. So I'd say a 9 for him, though, because he's done well. I'm like around a 7.5 to 8 with Sean McDermott. I thought he did a really good job, especially the back half of the season. But I can't forgive, you know, I don't put this loss against Kansas City this year on him, but I go back to 2022 and 2021, and I think coaching and preparation had a lot to do with the Bills' base planning in divisional round playoff games. So, I don't know. I bought an 8 on Sean, I am.
I'd say, like, the, you know, everyone knows the knocks on McDermott, right? It's like the overcoaching. Is he overcoaching Josh Allen? Is he playing conservatively? And then you have the midseason lulls and the playing down to the opponents when they're 7 to 14-point favorites, which tends to happen a lot. So, I mean, everyone knows him. I think you live with him. I'm right where you are on McDermott. I'm like a solid 8. Again, I see people think that he could be like on a hot seat or something. That seems bizarre to me. But again, we'll move on. And I'm an 8 on Brandon Bean as well. I think I'm mimicking what Micah said, that this is the hottest kind of like his seat has been in a minute, and what Pat said as well. 2018, you know, again, he's going to be strapped this year. It's going to have to be, I think, 2 to 3 nice value signings if we want to add to this team in free agency. Gentlemen, 145 days ago, it was October 11th, 2023. And Lindy Ruff was waking up with a new extension with the New Jersey Devils. Well, we had breaking news before this show just went live. Lindy Ruff has been fired as the coach of the New Jersey Devils. Now, this was something that was kind of, like, amongst Devils fans, amongst, I guess, sports fans, this is kind of developing a little bit, but still crazy to see, like, a Jack Adams, you know, guy last year, guy with an extension to start the year, get fired. It just shows how, you know, obviously, you know, whatever you would say, fragile a coaching position is, obviously. With that said, real quick, before we get into the Sabres and what they've been doing the last couple weeks, would you guys be in favor of bringing back Lindy Ruff as soon as possible?
Fuck yeah.
I haven't had time to process that. I don't know, man.
I think I do it at this point. I think if they finish the season lame.
Go ahead. My whole thinking with him is just that he always gets the most out of his like offensive ability, and he teaches them how to be gritty. And if that's one thing that the Sabres could use right now, it's exactly that. That's my thinking.
It feels like a Bagula kind of move. Like if he was going to do something, if he was going to do something with Granato, it feels like it would be like a Lindy Ruff type of move.
Especially with the state the Sabres are in right now, the lack of confidence that the fans have in this general management and the ownership. If you go and get a guy like Lindy Ruff, like what does that? That says a lot for your fan base. Fans look at that and they're like, okay, they're trying to get something going in the right direction with a little bit of oomph behind these guys in the form of Lindy Ruff. I mean, I was watching that video when we threw it up the other day on the anniversary of the big brawl against the Senators and the passion, the fire that Lindy had when he's arguing with the coach in the next bench. It's just like, you don't get that from any other coach. So hell yeah, I'm in favor of bringing Lindy back.
I think if anything, it could be a good PR move for the team if this season ends poorly again. That I'm in complete alignment with you, because at the very least, like, it's going to have a certain type of there's a large sect on Sabres Twitter right now that is just out on Don Granato and has been for a couple months. I think now you're seeing it. It's kind of like, okay, like, yeah, 2 years is really the shelf life in the NHL for coaches, maybe. Like, sometimes it's a year and a half. I don't know if I agree with that. I do kind of think that we should give, you know, in hockey, they need to give coaches a longer leeway, and also need to hire all the same guys over and over again who have the same leeways basically with every team. But it might just be the time to make a move like that and make a splash. And like you said, Maniac, he gets that stylistic change right away, but it also seems like modern Lindy Ruff in these couple years, like with the Devils, he got them pretty good to start out the first couple years, and then his message kind of went flat, and that's what happened this year. And they could use that jolt for 2 years, and then when it starts going, you make the change like you're doing right now.
I think it's really interesting because we know where this team is at this season. I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs. I think we all know that they're not going to be huge buyers or huge sellers at the trade deadline. They'll probably trade, you know, a couple guys are going to be restricted or unrestricted free agents anyway. But I think if there is one question over these last 20 games that needs to be answered is Granato coaching for his job over these last 20 games? Like, how this team finishes over the last quarter of the season, does that dictate if he's back? Now, I know Saturday, I think I heard Kevin Adams say that he definitely wants Granato back next year. So I don't know. But, you know, struggling through the last 20 games could change it. I don't know if Lindy Ruff suddenly becoming available will play any factor in a potential Bagula decision. Probably not. Yeah. But that's the one interesting thing that I think is left for the Sabres over these last 20 games is Granato. Is he coaching for his job or not?
That is a storyline for sure, as well as the Sabres 2% playoff odds, according to moneypuck.com. I mean, again, last night was just brutal. You can't let that go, obviously. And to be honest, it was hard even to be mad at them with how well they played lately. So it's a very odd factor there. Speaking of odd factor, if you tuned in this weekend for history in Buffalo, you may have got owned. Let me see if I can pull this up. Okay, we got Fox. This is the Fox affiliate in Buffalo. Caitlin Clark is literally one bucket away from history, and he froze. That's not train wreck, folks. That is the Fox affiliate in Buffalo freezing with history on the line. So, Pat, I'll wrap this up real quickly. Can Buffalo not handle greatness?
I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't even know that was going on either until about 15, 20 minutes ago before the show. When you told me about this, I didn't even know that happened on Fox.
Buffalo too. Like, not like, you know, the feels Fox very affiliate, Buffalo-y. Like it's up just Buffalo.
It does feel Buffalo-y for sure.
Okay. Yeah. I think it was right. Yeah. Gents, anything to chime in there on the Clark matter? Mm. Obviously, kudos, sir. Wow. I will gotta say that low key, it's amazing that we have the top women's scorer in history and fifth women's scorer in history, both active right now in the NCAA with De'Asia Fair.
That is crazy. No, that's the very as Buffalo can get. Sometimes, you know, just there's no coincidences in life. Sometimes you see that, you're like, huh, that's interesting. I don't know how many diehard Iowa Hawkeye fans there are. I do know a couple in Western New York.
Actually. Travis Scott, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
Speaking of Buffalo as Buffalo can get.
So this only happened in Buffalo?
Yes, it was only the Buffalo affiliate, Pat. So that's what makes it all the more ridiculous, is that everyone in the nation watched this and Buffalo had to just basically be like, what happened? regardless of whether you cut the cord or not. Speaking of cutting the cord, whether you're streaming, whether you're dodging, it is March Madness. We got conference tournaments starting up. We got the tournament inevitably just about, 2 weeks and – well, they have playing games in 2 weeks and a day, and then we're 2 weeks and 3 days from that magical Thursday. So real quick question, gents, because we'll be talking about a lot about this more ramping up this month. Where does March Madness, that original round of 64 weekend, Sweet 16, Final Four, where does that rank in the must-watch for you? Is any aspect of that, you know, top five in sports?
I'll go ahead and start. For me, that opening round of 64 weekend of March Madness is like one of my favorite weekends of the year. It's like a holiday, especially because it kicks off basically before the work week is even over. You're probably at your desk, like live streaming the 12 o'clock tip off, 16 versus one that has absolutely no meaning to you other than you might have a fiver on it. Yeah, I absolutely love this weekend. It's like Christmas morning, as some would say. I'd put this up there with NFL opening kickoff, MLB opening day. It's right up there. Sports greatness. That's what we're here for. And March Madness is right up there with those weekends in sports.
Micah?
Yeah, I love March Madness. I love the opening, especially the opening rounds. Everything Slick said, echo that sentiment. When I was younger and first became a basketball fan, first started loving basketball, I was way more into college basketball than the NBA. So it used to be even March Madness. I was that kid at school. If I had a computer lab, Slick, I was logging into marchmadness.com and trying to watch at 1 o'clock or whatever. But now it's not following the teams as closely, but the energy of the tournament, having all my brackets around me and just following along all those games is one of the best sports days, weekends of the year.
Now, I'm very interested to hear Pat's opinion, because this is a man who would easily trade the Sabres for any expansion basketball franchise.
I would.
Where are you on March Madness?
I've said that a million times. Any NBA team, I would trade the Sabres and the Bisons in a half a second, both of them, for an NBA franchise. But I'm going to be completely honest with you, and this is probably going to be unpopular. I don't watch college hoops anymore. Yeah. And this is coming from somebody. I want to be clear on this. I grew up. Especially my teenage years, I was obsessed with college basketball, Big East basketball, ACC. I could tell you rosters from every team and every conference, backups too. I don't know. I fell out of love with the sport, maybe because guys were going straight to the NBA or they're only there for 1 year. But to answer your question directly, even though I don't know players and I don't really know what teams are really good, because of the brackets, because of the gambling aspect, because of being in pools with your friends and stuff like that, I do get heavily into it at that time of year. I'm a legit bandwagon hopper. Like, I probably can't tell you 15 players right now in men's college basketball, but I will be all in when it starts, just because I said, because of the brackets, because of the pools, like at work and stuff like that. So I'm not going to put it in my top five or anything close to that, to be honest with you. But I'm I get invested because of brackets. Like, if there was no bracket, if I wasn't in any, I probably wouldn't watch 5 minutes of a game.
I'm sorry, but sports during the workday is electric, and that makes that those round of 64 games Thursday and Friday absolute must see. That's all
tennis,
I gotta say.
Tennis and college basketball during the workday, there's just nothing quite like that.
Nothing better, nothing better. And also nothing better than seeing a 14 up on a 3.5. Let's go, March Madness. Real quick, speaking of March Madness, the Buffalo Bracket is back for its fifth annual year. I know it's Slick and Mike and all of that, so I'm going to keep them hush. But Pat, you looking forward to seeing any newbies in the brackets here? I would say you are the Roger Ebert to the Buffalo bracket. You're like the guy that everyone refers to. You're the one who's going to be the most over. So tell me what you're looking for this year. What do you want? What are you expecting out of the BB24?
Little bit of context here. If you can remember this a couple of years back, so this is 5 years now you're doing this. It was maybe 3 years ago, maybe so it was year two that you were doing this. I got mad because of some of the choices or the way the polls were going. So if you remember, I took your concept, which, I mean, I admitted and credited Trainwreck Sports, but I did a full podcast with Matt Perino, and we literally used your brackets and all the rankings and everything, and we did our own in one day, and I remember that. That was so much fun. I want to give you guys credit, too, because this is definitely, like, your time to shine for sure. Like, this is something you guys are going on year five right now. It's really picked up and a lot of people get involved. I enjoy it a lot. If you're asking me to campaign for one or two people that I don't think they're going to be on yours, but if I were to have a say in this right now, I'm going to give you a hot take. If you want to go to sunny Lackawanna, Sunny Reds is the most underrated place in Western New York to go for either chicken wings, brick oven pizza, fish fries, pasta dinners, burgers, great bar, nice crowd. It kind of pops on the weekend. It's only open like Wednesday through Saturday night. But I'm telling you, in Trainwreck, Maniac, I should say, you know how I am about wings. They're on my Mount Rushmore of wings now. They're one of the best.
I'm glad you brought that heat. Everyone comes with the typical, you know, oh, you know, this way. I'm glad you brought most underrated. Now, I will say, I think they're Sunny Reds. I'm starting to hear about them. And I haven't even been there. I haven't been to like that. So my prediction is that by next year, if they're as quality as you're saying, I think they may be on the Buffalo bracket. And they won't be underrated anymore. But folks, make sure you're following. We got Selection Monday, 2 weeks from today, for the Buffalo bracket. Who will be the best in Buffalo in 2024? And speaking of being the best, speaking of being a legend, speaking of being an icon, last night we retired essentially like a LeBron James of wrestling in the form of Sting at AEW Revolution. And I was fired up because even though I was laying in my bed and not exactly paying attention, I saw Pat say that Revolution won him over and he is in for AEW for the time being. So tell me what you liked and tell me what you're most excited about going forward, Pat.
Oh, I've always thought AEW has great wrestling matches. They got great wrestlers and they have great wrestling matches. I'm kind of a show guy, though. Like, I like stories. I like gimmicks. I like catchphrases. I like backstage segments. That's why one of many reasons why I've always been so much pro WWE. But I turned it on last night, and I'm going to be honest with you. I watched it because I wanted to watch Sting. And, you know, I watched the whole card, and yeah, I was kind of blown away. A few great matches. And I'll tell you, the Sting match was way better than I thought it was going to be. Darby Allin might not be alive to see 40.
Yeah, what percentage of matches for Sting and AEW would you say you've seen?
Maybe three.
Okay, three, well, no, because I want to say, and that was my feeling, because you should go watch them. Because they did a tremendous job of hiding the fact that clearly at this point in his career, he's severely limited. Every match that he was in was a spot fest with iconic moments, all kinds of stuff. So they really did a great job of that. And I really thought it was the crescendo last night. That was why I was excited that the Young Bucks were in this match. I know some people potentially wanted other opponents for based on his career, things like that. But ultimately, I think that they were the perfect foil for this match. Michael, what did you think of that main event? What did you think of Revolution?
Well, you hit it perfectly on the head when you said, like, the LeBron James of wrestling, because it really hit me in the moment, like, getting ready for the show after we had it. And then as I'm watching that show, like, when I first started, like, really getting into wrestling, really watching, locking in my formative wrestling years, I was throwing on, once I figured out what it was, TNA, Spike TV, and just waiting for Sting to show up. And I didn't really think, like, I was never, like, you would ask me a couple years ago, I would never been like, oh, yeah, Sting's, like, one of my top five, like one of my favorites of all time, all that thing. But it really hit partially in a couple of times in this AEW run. But last night specifically, I love the Young Bucks too. So seeing them all just in this moment together in the match, like you said, Pat, it was so much better than it had any business being like in this match. It was great the whole way through. And then the card itself was, it lived up to it. Like the only one who really had a tough spot, I think, was the second to last match, the world title, just where they were sandwiched between, and they still did a great job and put on a great show there. So, but Sting, man, it was really like a full circle wrestling moment for me. Watch, like, damn, like this is a guy that I was just waiting for to come on TV, and now he's retiring and he goes out the way he did. It's as good of a last match you could hope for, really, in wrestling, honestly.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, I think someone said it in our group chat that we have. Like, when has AEW really ever put on like a bad retirement match or like farewell tour with somebody? And you already know Sting, like probably top three most iconic wrestlers of all time. Bold take, but you could make the argument. And what better send off? This match exceeded my expectations beyond anything I ever thought. And the whole card was great.
I think Sting wrestling in the event itself, the significance of it, might have opened some eyes to people who are primarily WWE guys like myself who come and watch that show. And then I'm like, holy shit, who's this Will Ospreay? Oh, my God, this guy's incredible. And I also thought the Daniel Bryan match with Eddie Kingston, which I did not think was going to be a good match, I actually enjoyed the hell out of that as well.
I think those were my top two matches of the night, to be honest. Ospreay and Takeshita stole the show for me. Oh. And what was
even happening in that ring? It was insane. The shots they were landing. There were a couple times where I thought one of them hit, like, for sure. That one with that one cell with Takeshita where the ref was, like, literally trying to drag him off the mat and he, like, fucked him up was hysterical.
The brain buster on the turnbuckle was, like, that's something only four people in the world should ever even attempt, let alone do successfully.
Like, the Tiger Driver 91s, like, moves that aren't even, like, allowed.
And listen, credit to all the performers last night. You were seeing some stuff last night you are just plain and simple not going to see in WWE, whether you're talking about that moves or whether we're talking about Darby Allin through the glass.
I mean, we all know Darby Allin when he's getting in a ring on live television or a pay-per-view, he's going to do some crazy-ass shit, and he just somehow finds a way to do something crazier every fucking time.
Quick side note, too. I had a very close friend who was in the front row at that show last night, and if anyone was wondering if that glass was real, it was, because they went and they were checking on fans. It was a fan who had a couple of nice lacerations on his face from that glass, so... The glass when you see real.
There was a fan with a great slow-mo that got posted on our WWE chat, and you can see the Young Bucks. They don't really even care about getting away from it. They're going to block their eyes in slow-mo literally at the last second. That thing was exploding. I mean, jeez, what a spot that was. There's so many memorable moments last night. And thank goodness, on top of all things, Swerve came out looking good.
Yeah,
he did look good.
We didn't get Danny Garcia, though. Our mayor of Buffalo came up a little bit short.
That's okay. He battled. He did what he could.
He did.
I was surprised at that outcome. Thought maybe there'd be a little more trickery to get Danny taking the L and maybe a little more momentum to him looking like he was going to win. But I'm not mad at the match itself. It was a good match. Obviously, we all wanted a different outcome, but still great. Great card nonetheless. And only one title change out of four that all could have potentially changed.
Yeah, that's a great point. You said you were blown away by Ospreay at least, but is he the guy, or is there anybody else that you need to go back and, like, you're like, okay, I need to go see some stuff from them that you've missed?
There's lots of guys now after watching the rest that I want to go back, but he's the one specifically. And I know he's just starting out full time with AEW.
Yep.
I've always been a big Samoa Joe fan too. The psychology of his matches is just really next level. And again, I watched these like a show last night and I started thinking to myself, it disappoints me thinking back to WWE that Samoa Joe didn't have a better run in WWE, or at least he wasn't on the main event scene for longer, or even more so that back in the day when Sting was with WWE. That he didn't get some of those dream matches.
Talk about two guys who got the short end of the stick with WWE that are like literally are like have had amazing last 2 years with AEW.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe's the world champion right now.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. And I think he's literally about to go into a new era of being the champion. He hasn't really evolved, right, as the champion. He's just still been Samoa Joe. I feel like he's going to take it to another level with whoever the next opponent is or whatever lies ahead for sure.
And that new pay-per-view just announced lying ahead. Bit over a month away.
Seriously. And real quick, just putting a wrap on the wrestling talk before we wrap it up here on TT 331. Pat, besides the Bloodline greatness extended, what are you most invested in for WWE going into WrestleMania?
I don't know if it's going to be WrestleMania specifically, but, and I was going to say this for a shout out, but I'll just say it now. If you're watching on the video, Tiffy time. Tiffy time is going. Tiffy time is my new favorite wrestler. I have checked it. This is not an exaggeration. I swear to God, I have the Roman Reigns hoodie now, and I have checked every day for a Tiffy time hoodie. Right now, it's just got one that says Tiffany Stratton on it. I will literally buy it the second it comes out. She's going to be a future world champion. She's going to be one of those women who are in future Royal Rumble and WrestleMania co-made events and stuff like that. She's not going to be no flash in the pan. She's a great wrestler. She's good on the mic, and obviously she's absolutely gorgeous. I'm telling you, she's the next big thing in WWE. Wow.
A Roman Reigns-like run incoming for Tiffy time? That's unbelievable.
I love it.
Unbelievable. Well, hey, speaking of unbelievable, always excited to have Pat Moran along with us here on TT331. Glad to be back in the saddle for Outlaw Liquor. Make sure you're going there anytime this week, anytime into March Madness, anytime in the road to WrestleMania. There is no bad time to get to the place to buy a case of Outlaw Liquor. But with that said, we got to put a wrap on things. Shout outs to Sasha. I know you just got rid of yours, Pat. You got a backup in the chamber?
No.
All right, let's go to Slack first. We got Slack.
No.
Shout out to Mother Nature for blessing us on this beautiful Buffalo day. And shout out to the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight. Let's go Thunder, Maniac.
I'm 0-3 this month.
Yes, it hasn't been a great start after our February. Shout out my dad, Tim Micah, who is his birthday today. Happy birthday, Tim.
Acknowledge him.
Yeah, he gets acknowledged. There we go. It's happy birthday, Pop.
Oh, that I got to do a little shroud of mystery. First off, shout out to the panel, Slick, Micah, Pat Moran, killing it. And shout out to tomorrow, where we will be doing a bonus episode of Trainwreck Tonight because we missed one last week. And we'll have two guests who will be announced later tonight. And we will have an announcement of a new sponsor for Trainwreck Sports. So stay tuned for Trainwreck Tonight, 3:32. Pat, you got anything on the back end?
Yeah, shout out actually to you for not making me do a quiz. Like, was the last time I was on the show a couple of years ago, you put me through a quiz and I literally got every single one of them wrong. And it was incredibly embarrassing.
I don't put anyone through the grinder anymore. I learned my lesson.
That's a lie.
All right, folks. Speaking of lying, make sure that you go and line up with our subscribers over at Apple Pods, SoundCloud, Spotify, and more. Make sure you're getting to Outlet Liquor. Make sure you're getting to Sports City Pizza. But make sure you're following Talking Buffalo and Pat Moran. Obviously, that is a no-brainer. With that said, you don't need a brain to have a good night now.